Yes.
Okay.
And
yes.
And so I.
He's speaking like a backgammon person, so I'm just trying to tell
no,
you.
No, and Ursula keeps me honest.
because the listening audience is seeing a display on your website.
Yeah, on the show.
That, well, I'm just, this is orientation so people know what you're talking
about. That's the way the archive looks.
Yeah.
And I must tell you that I am completely open to any ideas about design because I'm not a web designer. It's very, it works. In other words, it's built clear. All the shows are there. You can play whatever you want.
So this is what a listener see?
That's what a listener would see on a desktop. On your iPhone, it would be it's a different page. It's a page that's designed for mobile.
Yeah.
So
you allow them to download as well as stream?
If it's a show that's one of the elements of the archive, you control that. So if it's a talk show, yeah, you'll allow them to download. If it's a music show, you can't download
right.
a podcast.
Okay. Gotcha.
You know, it's but I was kind of saying that first you build your schedule. This is the way it works now. You build your schedule, and the schedule is built by the week. It's a weekly schedule. So when you're alternating shows and you have these really complex things of rotating hosts and all that other stuff, you can actually put that into this so that what shows up on your front page is always going to be the actual schedule. And this thing also generates a schedule grid. I'll show it to you in a second. I just got to play with the computer. It generates a schedule grid with, you know, I have rollovers for the pictures of the... And also out of this whole system, you can pull a page, create a page for a CMS, so that, and the whole idea behind it is we're community radio. We don't have a lot of people to do a lot of work. Generally, we're, under short-staffed. So the idea is this stuff's all automatic, and it just sits there and cranks and, keeps working. Until you have to call me in the middle of the night, and then I fix it. What?
You got a question.
Yes, sir.
You said that this archive off your web stream. So if your web stream doesn't work, what does your system do?
It doesn't record it.
So it's just blank.
It sits and waits for a stream. One of the things you can do, there are a bunch of things that, to deal with that. One is you have a local recorder, just the way you do. You're probably using Total Recorder, right?
We're just using a script off the iSCAD.
Okay, but you're doing it by the hour. Now, this recorder's up on the server, and it actually knows what show it's recording and what time it's on because it has the schedule to drive it as a playlist.
This is completely independent of, say, Station Playlist Creator, which is ahead of your programming.
Yeah, that is correct. Station Playlist will be running a schedule. And right now, we're going to get to this because we just talked about the archive. I haven't talked about the recording yet because this schedule is also driving the confessor so that in the studio, coming up on the screen, and it's by the schedule, when it's that time for that show, bam, that entry screen pops up so that the guy can type in what he's playing.
So the DJ is inputting their playlist as they play the show.
Yeah, they can do it as they play the show. They can do it in advance, or they can do it afterwards. There's a complete editing system for dealing with that. And I had it kind of restrictive before, but now it's a complete editing system. You can move stuff around. You can change what you did. Because I have to think that 95% of the people we put on the air are generally responsive. We're not going to have, any kind of craziness. And the whole point of that is to make it easy.
So you're doing artist title and length?
Well, no, we're doing all four fields.
What's the
label?
Okay.
One of the issues with recording is that so many of our studio playlist reports all four. Rivendell reports all four, but Zara doesn't, Megasafe doesn't, Radiologic doesn't. They don't report the label. And we're supposed to report the label. The copyright holder.
Right.
Now, I'm talking to Sound Exchange about that to find out if there's a way we can resolve that because you can deduce the label and the album from the artist in the cut.
Right.
90% of the time.
Yeah.
And they have a thing so you can do it by hand on Sound Exchange. I mean, how many cuts do we play in a quarter? Mm-hmm. Just, you know, you've got to hire three people to just find the label. And they have a database that they've been given by all of the copy, you know, by all the RIAA members. And they let you download the CSV file of that database by the sort of album. So I'm trying to get a dialogue going. It's like, give us the whole thing, put in an API that so that we can talk to that and get that information. Because that's a serious issue. We community radio stations were left out all of all the negotiations about you know, about when the copyright negotiations were done. We were included. So that's kind of why we're paying like more than maybe we should. So that's the confessor. So this schedule drives the confessor. It allows the reporting, and you can change the schedule instantly. If you have a show that suddenly changed and somebody didn't show up and it's not been on, you can change it right there, and it'll show up that way. Because that's how we schedule. So the whole point of this thing was to make it really easy to build a schedule, to do it by the week. And
how many people at your station can change a schedule like that?
That's up to you. There's a back end, and there are levels of access that you can have. You can control it. You know, it's designed to deal with those situations. So you have a super admin, and then you can have admins that have certain abilities other than that. I'm trying to think. Okay, I've talked a lot. You know, I've said a lot of stuff. The downside of all this is that I don't have a book. I don't have the documentation. First of all, the programmer writing the documentation is always an error, because we're always going to leave out something significant. But what we do have is it's all pretty intuitive. You know, I've kind of made it pretty intuitive, and once you start doing it, yeah, you know how to do it. And again, I'm always on call. At some point, there was no documentation. We do have documentation for the programmers, the groups, and how to enter stuff and what their capabilities put into it. So, advantages. Our competition is Spinatron. And I should probably say, we don't have the hints. I don't have the hints in here. Spinatron, they're keeping a database of everything gets played, and then they have hints that drop down when you enter something. We purposely did not put them in because when you're doing a show, you got in your head what you have to do and how much time it's going to take. You know, that's what's going on the whole time. You know, I got just enough time to go to the John. All of that's there. By having it typed in, you know exactly how much time it's going to take. Because you could get a drop down 15 things, and you're sitting there looking at it and trying to figure out which one it is. Now that becomes a variable. You don't know how long it's going to take to do it. You can get a curve thrown at you, and suddenly, oh shit, you know, I'm in there. So that's why we did that. If we can get this deal going, if I can somehow get Sound Exchange to listen to us and get that other information, that's going to speed it up. And so we can get the label, at least the label or the ISRC number, which is the unique number for every track that's ever been done, which is what they actually use when you report. Okay. Questions?
Is that ISRC number what is looked up in CDDBS when you rip a CD?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Because
yeah,
I have a lot of CDs that have nothing shows up when I try to access CDBS.
There's one for the CD. You mean at like GraceNote or FreeDB?
Any of it. I have some Brazilian CDs that were donated to me, and I try to find no information.
Right. There's a number for the actual CD, and then there's a number for each track.
Okay. So what would I do in the case of these CDs that has no reference?
Well, if you put it in, I'm not sure if you were a ripper, most rippers.
Yeah.
We'll go up to FreeDB or GraceNote.
Yeah, that's
GraceNote.
Right. Uh-huh. And it says, nope, nothing there.
That means, well, if it's been, somebody generated it at home,
oh no, these are commercial CDs, but they're imported from like Brazil or Germany or something.
It's entirely possible. There are any number of problems. One is illegal. One is the Grace Note just doesn't have it.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the problems with the drop-down thing is we play music that top 40s are not playing.
Yes.
So much of this reporting is geared towards, you know, commercial stations. Right?
Yes.
And we're doing all kinds. I mean, we're coming in with, I assume some of us are still coming in with milk crates, you know, with vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
There's no, you know.
Definitely no number for vinyl.
But the thing that I've said about the copyright reporting is Sound Exchange has, I don't know, millions of dollars in the bank sitting there waiting for artists to register so they can pay them because it's a 50-50 split. So when you put in somebody's track, they're going to get money for that. So you're actually helping the artist. I mean, that's the one good thing about the copyright. It's not just RIAA. So, you know, I recommend that. Say to your live guys, hey, you registered with Sound Exchange. If you hadn't, do it. It doesn't cost you anything. Anyway, questions? Any questions? Have I confused you completely?
I mean, what should I do about reporting if I don't have the CDBS? I guess I just manually input it into Confessor?
Yeah, well, that's how it is. Because what's happening is, look, music listeners want a playlist. They want the playlist. They want to be able to look at the playlist and know what you played.
Yes.
So the confessor is generating the playlist, and it's, you know, giving you the information so we can make the quarterly report, however you report. And, you know, depending on how you report, we send that information to Sound Exchange, or some of us, if we're at NFCB, we send it to the NFCB NPR thing. There are different ways to do that. So, and the confessor shows up there, and the confessor, you know, that's the reporting, but it also holds all the information about the show, the pictures, and, you know, all of that stuff, so that you can generate web pages from it without having to have somebody who sits there and does web pages. Very similar to what Wayo was doing, because you're essentially doing the same thing. You kind of built a system so that there is a kind of a central place for the information about the bios and stuff like that.
I had one other question, which was, you mentioned for your local backup recording, Total Recorder, I've used something called Loop Recorder. Are you familiar with it? I have used something called Loop Recorder for local recording.
Perfect.
You know of it?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's new.
I just wondered if you knew the relative plus or minus of Loop Recorder versus Total Recorder.
The archive actually came from a thing called CyberCorder. And in CyberCorder, you could generate a canonical file name. You know what I mean by canonical file name? In other words, metadata is contained in the name of the file.
Right.
So in the archive, it's the date, the time, and then there's a key. There's some letters which connect to whatever show it is, so that when it's important in the archive, it knows what show to assign it to. CyberCorder generated that.
Yeah, we just do a timestamp.
Yeah.
We leave it up to the programmer to know when their show is on. And
same thing.
Yeah.
And so your local recorder, although there is a version of this recorder where theoretically you could record it the same way locally, your local recorder, Total Recorder, is just a widely used one where you say, give me an hour, and it'll show me an hour link. I mean, you could do it with Radio Lover. I mean,
Radio Lover?
Yes, yeah, Max. Okay. There are recorders, so then you have a backup.
Right.
Then you've got a backup. So if we have a problem with the internet, if it's getting stuttery or being cruel in some other way, it's very easy to upload a file. You've got to put a file together for that show, but the archive has an old thing there where you can upload and it'll replace all the crap that's up there.
Oh, great.
With a clean show. And there are some people who do that. There are some people who will, you know, it'll go up there, they'll take their show and edit it so that they're happy with it and then upload that. It really covers a lot of the stuff that we do, and the history of all of this is a lot of feedback from people using it. And there are a lot of things that I have taken much better ideas than I have and put them in because they're actual things that people do. It's not just good ideas. It's like, yeah, this is what we do.
Yeah, we do a morning show, record it, and then rebroadcast it at noon, okay. 7 p.m. And it happens not often, but regularly, that somebody forgets to record the show in the studio, and then we download it from the archive and use it.
And you purchased Arnie Arneson.
Yes.
The way the system works for recording the show from the stream, the way we do it is you put up a 192 kilobits, one stream of 192 kilobits. And then there's a thing up there that has been named the Pontifa server, which breaks that down into the bit rates, the resolution you want to serve the public. And our default, I mean, it could be anything, but basically we default to 3160 stream, which is sort of a compromise for data plans and, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, sorry, I didn't think.
Also, you can tell the archive. You can tell the archive, I want to record at 192 of this particular show.
The assistant here.
So, John, you could record Arnie in 192. Mm-hmm. And you can download that, you can edit it, and then you put it up on audio for you. And this is all happening. There's no, you know, I don't know how you're set up, but you don't have to worry about somebody forgetting the recorder. You only have to worry that Comcast is doing the job.
Yeah, basically.
The stream is pretty good. You know, some places it's a problem. Yes.
Sir. So how does this software work with our station, where, first of all, we've got syndicated programs that we wouldn't want to be recording, and second of all, we have repeats of our local shows, so I don't need it to take Monday and Tuesday's broadcast. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's totally controllable. All of that stuff is controllable. You could say, if we show, don't record the show. I won't record it.
But I wouldn't
record
that.
You can also record it, and you can make it invisible so that it's actually there. You can go into the back end and get it, but it doesn't show up on the front page.
Right.
But I wouldn't recommend it, because one of the reasons people like the archive is because they hear information on a show, and they're driving or whatever, and they like, oh, I want to know what's going on. Oh, yeah, I can go to the archive and get that. And they're identifying it to the time where they heard it.
Oh, I see.
So it's better to let the shows repeat so that they're connected to a particular time frame, because that's how people are going to go back and find it.
It doesn't cost anything.
And what you're doing, I mean, we got to say hello.
Quick announcement here. We've got drunk jives, flash drives for anyone who would like one. So I'm going to pass.
Oh, wow. Just throw. Now you're taking this out. Everybody knows Sherry, right?
Sherry, thank you, Sherry.
You're quite welcome.
While we're passing around the jump drive,
do I have to leave some for somebody else?
How long do you keep your archives?
It's totally up to right now. I don't know. We really have like for the 5% of stations, I'm just basically keeping it.
So
it won't go back that far, but it's getting backed up. We haven't really worked out a deal with the affiliates for how we want it backed up and what people want to do.
And then how long do we keep ours?
I have KPFT going back to April of
2011.
14 days for music, 60
but
for music.
Do you have to buy it?
That's the basic. What Dave said is the basic. It's 14 days. For music, that's our limit.
Okay.
And then 60 days we do for public affairs.
Okay.
And we're kind of at the point where we're saying, yeah, you know, there's some copyright stuff in public affairs, but we're kind of pretending it's not there.
Right.
So we treat that as though we're not copyrighted.
And how long for the music studio, I just hear you say?
14 days.
14 days.
That's legal, right?
Does everybody kind of get it about the downloading versus the streaming, the copyright issues?
Yeah.
Because downloading is distribution. So it comes under a whole different copyright world.
Thanks, Sherry.
And streaming comes under the Copyright Act of whenever it was, 06. I don't know when we started having to report when you stream copyrighted material, you report it and you're covered. You pay your $500 a year and you're done.
Now, since we use external resource, our stuff is indefinite. They handle all that. Mixcloud handles that for us.
You're using what, Mixfinitron?
No, no. We upload to Mixcloud, which is like YouTube for audio.
Uh-huh. Oh, right, right.
Because they're handling all this, the licensing stuff, we don't. Huh. And it's up and down. So that's the main.
That's why you have to give them the playlist.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
One thing that is going to happen to the archive that you know has been on my back burner for a while is to do what you do, what mix, which is show what's playing now when you listen to the archive, because we have the playlist. The playlist knows.
Oh, so when they play the your archive, they don't know.
It not doesn't. Now. Not now.
Okay.
Now, theoretically, you're supposed to report the archive plays.
Right.
So that means we've got to keep track of how much they listen to and all that. And I haven't turned off scrubbing on this archive. You could turn scrubbing off on the archive. You can. You know what I mean by scrubbing? Going back and forth. Theoretically, you're not allowed to scrub music. Theoretically, right. You're only allowed to let it play.
You can fast forward, but you can't rewind.
Oh, I didn't even know you could fast forward.
On Mixcloud, you can only go forward.
I don't even know if that's allowed, because I thought it was just no scrubbing. But anyway, you can control that in the archive. If you want to be really absolutely legal, you can turn off scrubbing for a music show. Or you can leave it.
Question. Oh, I just have one question. So did you say that it has to do with the licensing fees that you're allowed to download for 2 weeks? Is that...
No. If it's copyrighted material, which we're saying is music shows, you're not allowed to download at all. Okay. Downloading and podcasting is just downloading, right? That's distribution. That's the same as burning a CD and taking it out to the to the flea market and selling it. That's how they see it. Okay. So you're not allowed to download at all.
FMU has it where with music and most of the music shows, you can download for a month and then it's streaming only.
They have
Now, that's Ken Friedman. That's a whole other world.
Okay.
Because what he's done is he's gotten the copyright. He has a stack of copyright waivers this high. He's been collecting them the whole time he's been broadcasting.
Got it.
Ken is no fool. So that's why they can do that.
But they only let you download for a month.
That's his rule.
Okay.
I mean, that's
the rule they're
trying to. But I can tell you, WXPN in Philadelphia. Does anyone know WXPN? Okay, they are a major music station. They produce World Cafe, and they also have a streaming service for music. And I was talking to the guy, and they've got up on their archive downloadable, they've got all their music going back to 2000 or something. I mean, it's like all there. And no one's ever said a word. So this whole copyright thing is, it's like, well... We want to be careful. Like in Pacifica, we're really kind of pushing now for people, for their public affairs shows, to get local composers involved. I mean, that's what I think. You know, write me a theme. Because that's what we're supposed to do in community radio. It's like, use some rich guy's music.
I see people upload music shows to radioforall.net, and as far as I know, nothing's ever happened.
That's right. But it could.
Right.
And the trouble is, if it does... It's going to be very expensive. These fuckers,
because they'll reach back and they'll look at everything that you've done over a period of years.
Well, it'll be very expensive, not necessarily because the copyright holders will win the lawsuits, but by virtue of the fact that they have very deep pockets and they can continue paying their lawyers for as long as they want. You know, they may not end up winning a lawsuit like that, but the defendant has to be wealthy enough to be able to, withstand the onslaught.
Well, but also, I believe you almost always get a cease and desist.
Right.
Before
you'll get a warrant.
We go into, so you can comply with that cease and desist.
How do you do that in that case? Like if I have programmers that have, separate from me, chosen to upload their show to radioforall.net, they haven't told me, I find out after the fact, how does that lawsuit process and the cease and desist work?
This is why we haven't implemented, because it becomes an incredible can of worms. Who owns the show? If they produce their show using your equipment, how liable are you?
So we don't know
just
this.
All of this stuff.
We don't know.
Up to this point, the distributor, that is Radio for All in this case, is the responsible party.
Lynn Gehry would have to sell her horses.
But,
right. But
you know, it's just fun. They're not doing anything up to this point and letting us sit in little sessions like this and worrying about it. And so far, there's been no prosecution. And, you know, I just think it's crazy that we even spend time on this.
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
Has anybody ever looked into the cost of a mechanical license as opposed to the copyright?
Well, no, but the mechanical...
That's a reproduction.
Yeah. Yeah, but that has to do with using somebody's material in some kind of a
compilation or something.
I'm not
like
sure
that. Wouldn't it just kind of fall into a podcast will fall into the same kind of
yes.
No. Yeah,
no.
Yeah. Mechanical license. Podcast.
If you have that license.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you does anybody know what the cost?
Yeah. It depends
to?
On the art. The copyright holder.
Yeah. Look, NPR has a room full of people.
Yeah.
Who do nothing but copyright. That's all they do. So, I mean, what could we do? We could get together and form a copyright organization. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And we're such a small portion of the thing. Yeah. And they must know that they're not going to get anything from suing us.
Radio for All. I'm assuming that's why nobody ever went after RadioForAll.net. Is like, there's
nobody's
no money there.
Yeah, right.
The first rule of law is sue people with money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the first rule. Unless they just want to kill us.
That's
right. Right. That's the other option.
Yeah. Apparently, the answer so far is no.
I don't know how. Well, why kill somebody who's distributing your music?
Right.
You know, the incentive isn't really there.
Yeah.
And also getting
musicians aren't like political conservatives who are trying to shut down media. They
a few, but
want,
not many, yeah.
I mean, media helps them get their name out. So.
Yeah.
They're also getting exposure of their artists that maybe aren't, you know, the biggest ones they've got.
Sure.
You know, maybe they think they're loss leaders. I mean,
that's the way I would
just,
think
we just
it.
Fall beneath the radar. I don't know if you're paying attention.
I always thought what we should do is make it legal to just give away a monaural 32K-bit version. Just free. You know, anybody want it, here you go. Just put it up on a public server. Have that. And then if you want the really nice one, then you got to pay for that one.
Well, what I used to do in the archive, when we first did the archive, I posted only 32s.
Yeah.
32 monos. So the music was all 32 monos.
Yeah.
So we would have, you know, a defense if we needed to say, who the fuck is going to want this? Forget my French.
Yeah, they might like it to sample it, which is the whole point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, here's this new artist you never heard of. Yeah. If you like it, buy the Stereo 9192 or whatever.
Let me see. Let me think if there's other stuff that I want to talk about here. I think what I would do, rather than demonstrating this, is to say, you know, if you think that the confessor in this system is something you might want to use, let's sit down, you know, we'll have some time, we can sit down and talk. It's easier to show you on the computer. It's really hard to do here. This schedule on the screen, and this has to do with the, is actually, you know, huge. But when the resolution is reasonable, you know, what is a modern resolution of a computer, you pretty much see the whole thing.
Well,
you can see here, I mean, I could just show you, for instance, simple stuff like I'm mousing over Red Eye Radio. You know, if I can go and see the show, you know, the information about the show and make a change there, although that's actually going to be changed a little bit. What's going to be there now is, this is a suggestion from Mikhail at KVMR. This is their test. This is where they're testing it. This is the beta that KVMR is using. Like he said, well, I'd like to be able to search for the show because there are, you know, 8 million shows here. So, yeah, okay, put that in. What this is going to do when you double-click it, it's going to show the host so that when somebody doesn't show up, you just change the host name.
Oh, nice.
You know? I mean, it's just I mean,
it makes it
we
easy
do that
for
all
rotation.
The time.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and then that host name will show up on the archive and all that. So what you're seeing is actually what actually happened.
You have to do that before it's supposed to?
No. I don't think so. I'm trying to work it so that what happens if I go to next, which is going to be the next first date. It may not be recording. What happens is, there it is. You can see these are ghosted because these have already played. So the stuff that's actually going on in the air is ghosted.
And you can't.
When you look at the schedule generator, I don't know what the rules are yet, but the rules should be, yeah, you could change the host. Why not?
Right.
You know? It's a rule. And when you're making rules, you're protecting people from screwing up. You know, but also trying to allow them to do anything that makes sense. So my original thing was, no, you can't do it. But then Ali at KPFK said, no, sometimes they've changed the show and I don't know about it until, 2 days later. So I want to be able to change the show or even the file that's up there. So, think of all of the things we do in community radio that almost never happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to allow them to happen. And so one of the things, because I'm a radio person, because I've done it, and I've been there, and I also have figured out how to code, we're getting, the coding is really showing a lot of that information because it's coming from somebody who's been there.
Speaking of coding, when you're filling in all these fields, what do we do? In my case, I'm getting a lot of donated music as just, here's my hard drive full of MP3s, and they play perfectly fine. Why not? Yeah. Except now I have to figure out all the meta tagging that's often missing.
You want to know the name of the, you got to kind of know the name and the artist. If you know that, if you know the cut of the artist,
use Shazam and figure out
what's Shazam?
Shazam on your phone to find out what the
track is.
Or Music Brains has a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah, I heard Music Brains yesterday. Yeah. Okay.
Because that's all volunteer driven. It's all. If you look up there now, see what I've done. You can see where the thing is, and I'm seeing remove and change length, so I can go. I can go down here. It's hard to do with this thing, but I can change the length and I can move around and delete. And there are a bunch of things like you see here, check overlaps. And one of the things he asked for instance, if I drag something in, he'll cover the one that's there. And so Mikhail said, well, why don't you just delete that one? So, okay, that's a good idea. So now I'm going to fix it. So if you drag it, it'll delete the one that's underneath. But it can overlap. So there's the check overlaps thing.
Check
overlaps, and there are overlaps that little bug remove or change length will show up at all of them.
Well, I've noticed on your archive that it does it right at the top of the hour, so if they're running a little late or a little early, then a little slice of their show is back in the previous or following hour.
Yeah.
I guess that's very
good. The archive is on,
time
computer time. That's on Google Observatory time. That's what it's doing, and it's allowing for the delay. So, the average delay, because it does change, but it's allowing for the average delay. And it's like, I think it's PAI and PFW, it's almost always spot on.
They're like
right at the top.
Amazing stations.
But if you're, if your clock in the studio is, Joe's clock, that, it's 3 minutes off, you're obviously going to have. And actually, KVMR, one of the things they asked for in the archive was the ability to overlap. So you can set up the default so that your show can overlap in seconds. You can say, I want to overlap 30 seconds on every show.
So if I understand you correctly, when I go click on the archive, the overlap function that I define means that that recorded archive starts by that defined number of seconds or minutes earlier.
Well, actually, it goes on later. So when you go to the show here, at the end of the show, it's going to go 30 seconds into the next show.
Okay, and then when I click on it, I'm actually playing 30 seconds of the next hour.
Yes.
Or whatever that
definition is. And the next hour, because the way the recorder can record anything. I mean, you can record five things at the same time. It's all threaded, so it doesn't care.
Okay.
So it started the other show, and it's still recording the 30-second overlap. Mm-hmm. And you can turn it off if you want to.
Can you turn it to a higher number?
By the show. You can say, don't overlap this show. Okay. That came up, and I can't, there was a specific instance where that came up where that overlap had to be taken off. I mean, we're talking about, you know, some details. What I can tell you is this stuff is being used. This stuff is out there. It is, I mean, obviously this is going to be new, but it's working. I have it on my production server, and it's been recording now for about 2 months. One of the nice things about it is it knows about the time change. I have spent days on the time change dealing with the craziness of dates.
Oh,
and
man.
This, when you get to, I don't want to go ahead, but I could call up the date of the time change, you know, which is that first week of, is it November, I guess?
I always have back. To be reminded.
Third week of October.
Is it third week of October? Oh my God! So I'm going to get my hour back pretty soon.
20, yeah.
I hate that, like savings time. That Sunday will show an extra hour. You'll see it. It's like there's an extra hour there, so you can actually decide who gets the hour. You can, you know, favor your buddies and all that. And in March, it'll show an hour short. And so the thing knows about the because when we first had it. The time change was always an exciting time for me because I would get calls.
What's the minimum time block in your scheduler?
I'm sorry?
Minimum time block that you record a 5-minute show?
Okay. One of the settings in the confessor is your granularity.
So you can set it whatever you want.
You can set it. Well, it's pretty much got to be a multiple of 60. You know? But, you, I mean, 7.5 minutes is not going to work.
Right. Okay.
But I think this is set for half an hour. Half an hour seems to be, that's pretty much what we do. One thing that I don't have in there that somebody's going to call up and demand is those slots that we put into shows that always happen 7 minutes after the talk.
Yeah.
You know, how to deal with that. Do we want to have a separate recording for it? I don't know, but, you know.
So if you play an ACLU minute or a Wing Labor News, that's just part of that half-hour block.
And one of the things I have to say about the confessor, because Dave and I have been plotting, doing some plotting about this, in the Rivendell, and this is also available in I know it's available in Studio Playlist. It's available in most of the others that you can tell them to send a message somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so Rivendell will send a message whenever it's playing. It'll send a message to the confessor, and it'll actually pop up on the screen that Rivendell put something in. Now you can see it actually appear as it goes on.
So
it's very cute.
What would you use that feature for?
Well, it depends. I mean, there are a couple of things. For instance, with Rivendell, and Dave obviously correct me, you can go into a mode in Rivendell which is manual. So that you can punch off PSAs, pre-recorded stuff, you know, PSAs and underwriting announcements and whatever.
Yeah.
So that's when it would show up. You don't have to type it in. You punch it off and bam, there it is.
Okay.
And then also, because we're having different kinds of entries besides music and talk in the confessor, you start using it for proof of play. For underwriting.
So you're saying the logging function of Rivendell will report your manually activated cards.
Correct. When Rivendell plays something, it sends a message to the confessor. And the confessor says, look at that. Okay. I guess I'll tell them. And so it pops up.
This all assumes great internet, right, I guess. Because what if the internet's down at your station or you don't have internet? How do you
internet go? Never goes down. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Dave. Yeah. We all know that.
One thing that Otis hasn't mentioned, and tell me if I'm right about this, last I checked, we did have room on the server, and some people use stream through Pacifica server. Like KHOI uses the Pacifica server stream.
Okay.
So that's an option I think still
overview.
Exists.
No, here's the overview. The overview is about all of this stuff, and I haven't even showed you the pledge system. because there's a pledge system for taking pledges over the phone. It's like a total accounting. It's a monster. It's a total accounting system that, you know, keeps the donor that knows who paid and all this other stuff.
Wow.
It even prints labels for sending preview. It's all internet. This is all internet. And what our strategy was, what our the way we designed this is, we provide it as a service. You know, if you're an affiliate, you can have the service. Included in that is streaming. It's very convenient to stream because, you know, from my point of view of recording it, everything is on the same server. All of that is part of the service.
Well, yes, we do ask something for it.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't come automatically with affiliation because we should cover our costs.
This is a value added. But
it's like, so there's one price for just being an affiliate and downloading programs.
Yeah, this is the only thing we ask extra money for, is this service.
And then this service is what's on here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very reasonable price, but it does not come automatically.
Insanely reasonable.
It doesn't come automatically with affiliation. No.
It is extremely reasonable. We're not charging much for the stream. We're charging a lot less than stream guys, who are terrific. I mean, I hate competing with people. I wish we'd all just like all get together and do the best one.
Hey, Otis, how's that 100-foot yacht you're living on these days?
Right, thank you.
So one part of the service
apparently
is
it's $1 a foot.
You can use the stream as well.
That's great.
And it's a good stream. It's very reliable. So far it doesn't have any limits.
Yeah.
So we don't. It's big enough that so far we don't have to limit the usage.
Right.
So
I just need to send you one initial stream, and then you divide it to however many people click on it.
But we're not charging by the. You know, when most of the streaming, although there are a couple of others now that are sort of doing a different thing. It's always been you commit to 30 or 60, you know, and end listeners, and then you're paying for that potential of having those that number of listeners, and then charging more like $1 a listener and stuff. We're not doing that. We're not limiting it. We haven't gotten to the point where we have to. And what I've always said is, you know, when it gets really big, we'll talk. You know, if you're suddenly, you know, streaming a huge amount, oh, we'll discuss it. Because it's a community service, so, you know, as long as you're not taking somebody else's space, then that's cool.
If I understand it, we have a server dedicated for the basically affiliate activity, and it's pretty much empty still.
Yeah. And
we haven't really filled it.
All of this stuff runs as a service. And again, the whole idea behind that was understaffed. It's pretty much handled for your station. So you get the benefit of all this stuff, and you know you don't have to be spending time. If somebody wants to do it themselves, I'll give them the software out of there. You know, it's all open source. So, you know, we're not protecting it. And you'd see the software and you'd say, well, why don't we just use your service?
The one, in the interest of transparency, that I'll tell you the one drawback about all this that I'm aware of, which is just that Pacifica doesn't have a huge IT service department.
Yeah.
Otis is pretty much it. And Otis is extremely willing to be there, but he's one person. So, you know, if you need tech support,
you get me.
We're dependent on Otis, and we would love to have like three people, and we're pounding the pavement looking for a grant for that. But so far, Otis is. So that's the one drawback. If you have people at your station that have absolutely no experience with this type of thing, it's going to be harder because Otis can't be a full-time tech support person.
Yeah, I can't. But I've done a lot of hand-holding. I mean, I am actively seeking, you know, younger people who are interested in radio and have some potential to write PHP. Because this is all PHP and JavaScript. Everything here is just plain old stuff.
So you need
nothing magic that I'm doing. It's straightforward.
They need somebody at the station who's comfortable dealing with this.
Well, I'm also looking for somebody to help me.
Well, I know. That's
not
great.
Sure where
I
they
want
are.
That too.
But
what I'm saying is, as a client, you have to know you're getting into a situation where you have to have somebody who can take this on and, you know, get comfortable with it. It's pretty user-friendly, but I don't know, Otis, Evan, how has it been for you? Evan's the person at our station who does it.
Oh, I mean, I'm not doing very much as far as deeper level functions go. I'm just filling out metadata mostly by hand. It's not too terribly difficult.
We've got 10 affiliates, 5 stations. My phone is not ringing.
On Sunday morning.
This stuff seems to pretty much just keep working.
That's great.
The only problems that we've had, and I mean, occasionally something funny happens, and I say, "Oh yeah, I have to fix that," you know, because you approach total bug-free as a limit. There's always something in there that, you know, some path will tick off, but we respond immediately. You know, I mean, I think you could ask any of the people who were using AudioPort or any of the people who were using this, that the response is really fast. Because, I mean, we're really committed to having it work. And to, you're doing a radio. It's now. I mean, there's no time to say, well, I'll put you on the line until next week. It's now. So the stuff seems to be pretty robust, and it keeps working, and... No, it's not ringing.
Can I ask a really backward, stupid question back to the licensing?
They've all been that kind of.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If we're paying the whatever the fee is to these people that keep billing us for licensing,
are you talking about PROs, performance rights, ASCAP, CMCMI, stuff like that?
Yeah,
different world.
Different words. So yeah. I was...
They're bastards. And one
never
CSAC, apparently, they're very mean.
I was never aware of the need for all the reporting that we've been talking about.
This reporting, there's some stations, there's a station in... well, we are reporting. He's on Studio Playlist.
Yeah.
And we do report to BMI and ASCAP.
No, he's talking about Sound Exchange.
He's
saying he's not aware of Sound Exchange.
Do we understand that there are two different reporting entities?
Okay.
They're what are called PROs, Performance Rights Organizations. Mm-hmm. That's ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and the new one whose name I never remember. And then there's the copyright stuff, which is Sound Exchange. So those are those two different entities. And the copyright confessor allows you to report to both, because at some point we're going to have to deal with these PROs. They want their cut.
They are already doing it.
They're horrible.
In addition to collecting money from you, they also want to collect reports of everything you play.
Yes, we can.
No, not everything. It's a few months a year. 1 month a year?
No, that's a choice. You can make the choice.
It's 2 weeks per quarter.
Your minimum reporting is 2 weeks per quarter. But my advice to stations is not report the whole quarter. The reason is people want playlists. You know, you're going to have a problem if you just say, oh, Gary, 2 weeks, we turn on the confessor and report. Look what you're not getting. You're not getting what's playing now on the front page.
So the
you're not
playing
the playlist. And when you say, what is this? We haven't, oh, yeah, that's like 3 months ago. What do I do? You know, so like, this is one of the things you do. One of the things you do, a music show, you put in what you like. You share it with your listeners. That's part of your contract with your listeners. And you report it, because by reporting it, you're getting at least some money going to these artists.
What do the DJs do if they've ripped a mashup from YouTube that has 3 or 4 different artists and so on?
Well, I'm sorry, but that's not legal. You're not allowed to mix. You're not allowed to do a crossfade. Didn't you read the DMCA? No, actually, it was a little edict that came out because people were asking, what about if we're mixing? You know, if we're doing one of those shows. And, you know, can't do that. And what I say is, report, you know, if it's 20 minutes long, if it's 3 things, 8 minutes of one, 8 minutes of the next, 8 minutes of the next.
Oh, I see. You just divide it.
Nobody's going to come after us for that, and that's fair.
Okay.
You know, that's
most of these mashups.
If you're doing a mashup from YouTube, I mean, the trouble is that the whole system doesn't really map on to what we do. What really
right.
good music producers do,
yeah,
or the kinds of ways we use music, it doesn't map on to that. It's top 40. You know, it's a bunch of guys with ties sitting in a room in Wall Street. That's how radio works, you know. And it's WPLJ. I mean,
I have a question about, so I recently received communication from Sound Exchange requesting, they've got this system, I guess, online, the direct licensee portal. Does that sound familiar to you? So when I went on.
Did you register?
Yes.
Okay.
And when I went on, I saw that they were looking for a report for each month. And I'm very confused about what to do.
Yeah, that's, and it's confusing. And I'd have to sit with you and look at it and try to figure it out. There are a couple of different levels. One of them is if you're an educational station, you don't have to report. You know, it's that simple. I guess you pay your $500.
No, not anymore.
If it's an educational station?
Yeah,
it's owned by an education.
But it has to be affiliated with an accredited institution. And I'll be considered.
Yeah, if you're owned by an educational station, I'll hear one thing. Then if you are a web, you know, I think it's Class B. I'm not sure what it is. And that's under, what is it, 48,000 APAs?
Yeah, I think it's a little higher than that.
Average.
Aggregate tuning hours.
Aggregate tuning hours, ATH. And that's a person listening for an hour, right? So if you got 10 people listening for 1 hour, that's 10 ATH. And then that's averaged out through the month. So that you get a how many people listen for the month. We're all under that threshold. I don't know, anybody is above that. Maybe Ken Friedman. Be above it, or you know, some monster station. What that means is it's $500 a year, and you got to report 2 consecutive weeks every quarter. That's your minimum.
Yeah, I don't know where this monthly thing is coming from.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
I say that's your minimum.
But I say report the whole thing.
You know, because you want the playlist, you want the discipline of doing it for your DJs. Contact with the listeners.
We had a request that you show how we do the streaming. Can you do that real quick?
The streaming again? Nothing?
There was a question about how you stream live. Mm-hmm. Can you just show it real quick so that you were the one that asked, right?
I asked it.
It's a pretty quick thing to notice when you show. Basically, what you're doing is you're streaming the sound.
I just gotta find
through audio port. Audio port streams the satellite.
Oh, okay. So I don't need a satellite down.
No, audio port streams the satellite.
Okay. Who was it? I asked for?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You didn't pay attention when it was up on the screen?
Me? Oh, did I miss it?
No. I'll talk to you in a minute because I think they're gonna throw
it.
But I'll show you.
Always. Just go to audio port and show
it. It's just that it's hard to get to. I'm under the gun here.
Come on, see if we can do it. See if we can show it. Come on.
15 seconds. 14.
And we're live.
Yeah, right.
I just can't remember what the point
was. It's an ass. Yes. Just go online.
Put that finger on the dump button and
get it. Does anybody know what's here next?
Pretty much.
Yeah, you could go all the way up the stairs to figure out. I want to go back.
They got a schedule on the wall right outside the laser room, so we can. I didn't look ahead. Sorry, kids.
Just go to audio port, Otis.
What do you mean, audio port to show streaming?
He wants to know how to get.
Thank you. Yes, let me do that. That's easier than doing this. I think you wanted that little.
He just wants to see how to do it.
Yeah.
Then I can show
you. Show you people. Have a login to audio port, right?
We do.
So, that's my problem. I thought it was audioport.com.
That's not my fault.
That's a porn site. That's what that's coming from.
Do I remember my password?
dot.
We see it here.
Okay, so now
you see where we are.
You see it turn green there. It says KU Streams.
Others,
KU Streams.
That's the satellite.
That's there.
Mm-hmm. You want to go to the left channel.
Yeah.
That's regular programming.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the satellite. So you just click on that.
Just click on that, and
that's the satellite stream.
What's your this? You might want to see. This is the stream. This down in the lower left, right in the little status bar.
Oh, that's the actual address. So that's what I would put into station playlist, and it would be at that time.
Yeah, and that is the address of the 128.
One of the things that we've discovered recently. The hard way is that there's a satellite tone when the show ends. And it's really obnoxious. So
can I say something about it?
Yeah.
It goes from 20 seconds, 59:20 to 59:50 with a marker. Yeah, and there's 10 seconds of silence. And then the show starts.
So just be mindful of that.
Cool.
But then at the end of the show,
it will come up 20 seconds after the show ends.
Yeah. After the show ends.
Yeah, it'll start for the next show.
So you dump out of it before that.
Yes.
Yeah. Just figure that out, like when you need to get out of there, because that tone is really obnoxious.
It's actually a standard. It's a standard.
Yes.
To have a
BBC. Yes.
Sure. So what you're saying is you can put that address in your scheduler. And it'll just take that and play that.
And that's assuming that the scheduler is smart enough to pick it up. And understand that you've got a 3-5 second delay. You know, so you want to be sure that you don't start until
10:30.
And make sure that our PC is on your network.
The sanctuary. Sung the head over there. Oh yeah, she had a horrible night and hopefully. She got kicked out of the matrium that she was trying to cook in. It was just crazy. They were literally crazy.
Thank you all.
Thank you for bringing up that you did talk good this morning. And do you feel satisfied with how to talk with? Thank you for
There was a commercial run that would go to the Naval Observatory and mail it at the same time.
I'm just speaking into the air.